Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Bava Metzia Kuf Aleph. We begin by the top of the Amud. Shataf Nahar Zesa. So back to the Mishnah, which tells us a story about a big flood, a river that came along and flooded Reuven's trees, his olive trees, and took them down river and transplanted them into Shimon's property. Now the trees produced. Who gets the produce? The Mishnah says they split it down the middle. Reuven and Shimon both get half. Amar Ula Amar Rish Lakish. Ula quotes Rish Lakish as follows. It's only true. We have two conditions. First of all, they have to have been uprooted with their gush, meaning their clump of earth surrounding the roots. Because otherwise, explains Tosfos, you couldn't eat the fruit. Because otherwise, it couldn't survive, right? Unless it was replanted, in which case it's considered a newly planted tree. In which case you can't have the fruit at this point because it's Arla, until 3 years are up. So what saves the day? It comes along with that clump of earth. And Rashi brings the Mishnah on Arla, quotes a Mishnah, that an Ilan Shenekar Vasela Ima, if a tree was uprooted together with the Sela, Sela is a reference to that hard clump which encompasses the roots, and the tree can still survive as is, right, without being transplanted, it can still survive, then if you go and transplant it, it's considered continuation. It's not a newly planted tree. So it's not chayiv and arla, and you can have the fruit right away. So that's the first condition. If you want to eat it, make sure that it could have survived the trip. Number two says, Digmor la'achar shalosh. We're speaking that 3 years since this event have already passed. In which case, everybody can lay an equal claim and get 50%. But if that second condition does not apply, let's say it's a recent event, it's just happened last week. In this case, the property owner, Shimon, cannot demand half of what comes from this tree. You know why? It all goes to the tree owner, Reuven. Because he can claim to Shimon, what are you talking about? Your property? Sit down for a minute. If you would have planted new trees in your property, would you get anything from them for the first 3 years? Of course not. So why are you expecting 50%? Your whole claim is based on the fact that it's your property. But that wouldn't allow you to eat for the first 3 years if they would have been newly planted trees. The Amalei, because Reuven can tell Shimon, I'd not us. Had you planted those trees, but how could you eat within 3 years? It's Arla. So I get everything. But look, but Shimon can respond to Reuven. I understand your point of view, but let's take a look at the whole picture. What happens if the 3 years are up? You're still asking for 50%, right? But if we tow your line, accept your argument, and look at the theoretical picture, this is Shimon speaking, if I would have planted trees anew, guess what would happen after 3 years? But Lamele, you can tell him, if I would have really planted new trees, la'achar sholish, once 3 years are up, I get everything, I get 100%. And you're not allowed to take 100%. Hava achil nalei kule, right? But now, hashta, now, ka'achos pagabada, you're insisting on getting 50% all throughout? That's not fair. So basically, either you're giving 50% from day one, continuously, or at least once it hits 3 years, give me everything. Allah says, the Gemara, let's go away from this version. Let's adopt the second version of Rish Lakish. Eloki Asur Ravin. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he quoted Rish Lakish as follows. Am Rish Lakish. With one slight tweak. First of all, you need the gushim to keep it alive and to keep the arla, by the wayside. Okay, so the first condition has to... The second point is a bit different than before. Ubetoich shalish. It had to have been within 3 years of this incident. Then we say, they both split the deal. Avalachar shalish, but once 3 years since this transplanting took place. 3 years were up. Hakoyel balakarka, in this case, Shimon gets everything. Because the landowner can turn to the tree owner and say, look, Iananati, had I planted trees anew, lachar sholish, miloy hava achilna lekuli, wouldn't I get everything? After 3 years are up? So I'm entitled to everything once 3 years are up. Okay, I'll give you 50% for the first 3 years, but once 3 years are up, I get everything. But Reuben can tell Shimon, look, that's not fair. Because you have a good point. Post 3 years, you should get everything. But then, within 3 years, you shouldn't get anything. If we're working with this Erla equation, Iat Natas, had you planted B'tech Sholesh Layava Achlas, you wouldn't get anything within the first 3 years, right? But now you're insisting on 50% from day one. Hashtaka Achlas Palga Bada, you're splitting it 50% with me. That's not fair. Well, the answer to that is like this. Mishnah Amar Lekashima could respond and say, look, that's incorrect, because had I planted, I wouldn't have lost that whole property. I could have still planted vegetables near the young trees, brand new trees. They're small in size. They don't take up much room. Your huge trees took up half my field. I'm entitled to 50%. Because I gave up my property. I gave up other potential profits from this property by having your trees on board. Ananati, had I planted new trees, Havakatini, there would have been little teeny weeny saplings. Vazarana tchusayu, silkabiyaka, planted beneath them beets and vegetables. Now that I couldn't do that, I lost out, so I'm entitled to 50% from day one, and once 3 years hits, I get everything. Tani, we learned on a price. Amar halo, zeisai aninoita. Okay, so Reuben says, you know what? I want my trees back. Ein shemilei, we don't listen to him. My time, you know why? Amar b'yechanan, so we don't want to risk destroying plantations in Eretz Yisrael. So even if he's committed to replanting them back at home, we never know what might happen between now and then. We don't want to take a risk. This is a big chiddush. This type of halacha tzvicha rabba has to come from a big source like Rabbi Yochanan. We could not have invented this halacha ourselves. Tanan Hassan, we have a Mishnah over there in Meseches Demai with a similar concept of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. Let's see. Arbida Eimer. Arbida tells us HaMakabel. HaMakabel is a term referring to a sharecropper. So he accepts upon himself, he commits to cultivate the field on condition that he gives the landowner 50% of whatever grows. HaMakabel Sodei Avoisa Min HaNachri. If a Yid in Eretz Yisrael made this arrangement regarding an ancestral field, something that belonged to his ancestors, and is currently owned by a goy. Okay? So he made this arrangement. He's now working on the field for the goy. Comes the time to pay him his 50%. Ma'aser v'noisin lo. You can't just give it to me. He has to take off ma'aser and then give him. So basically, it costs some extra money. The Yisrael, it costs some extra money. So the question is why? Well, what's going on? So v'ruah d'bnei ha'yeshiva figured, ma'is de'avoisim. What is this term "steavoisa" referring to? Oh, it means our land, Eretz Yisrael. But my korel is steavoisa. Why is it called why are we using this term? Oh, stay Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov belong to our ancestors, Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, our avos, who inherited it to us. Okay, so basically we're speaking about a regular field in Eretz Yisrael belonging to Klal Yisrael. Number one. Number two, V'kosavar, the Mishnah is following the opinion that Ein Kinyan L'Nachri. There's a whole question whether land owned by a guy in Eretz Yisrael is still obligated in Trumas and Maasers. No. A guy can't undo the halacha of Truma and Maaser. Ein Kinyan L'Nachri Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that the guy has a Kinyan, but he can't suspend Lafkia Miyad Maaser to undo the Maaser obligation. So basically, anything that grows in that field really is Tevel. Number three, a fellow who's sharecropping is in a way similar to a choicher. A choicher is a fellow who has a slightly different arrangement. Instead of working with percentages, it's a set amount. Look, I'm going to give you 100 pounds a year, Mr. Farmer, Mr. Owner, right? So we treat a mekabel to a choicher to a certain extent at what? Ma choicher, just like a choicher, bein avad, ubein lo avad, whether or not the field produced anything, he's obligated to provide that 100 pounds of produce, 100 bushels, whatever, to the landowner. And therefore, boi asuri umitan lei. So when the chaycher provides that amount to the owner, he has to first take off maaser, and then he gives him the rest. So basically, the maaser is at the chaycher's expense. You know why? Dummy. Because when he's paying up this amount to the owner, it's like he's paying up a debt. He owes him this amount. You can't pay from tevel, you can't pay from maaser. You have to first take off the maaser, and then give him the 100 bushels. So just like by the choicher, we treat it this way, af mekabel nami, same thing with the mekabel, who's working on percentages, it's a similar type of arrangement, and we deem the payment as a debt payment. And there explains why first the Yisrael has to address the maaser aspect and then give him the full amount of the remaining, you know, produce. Maaser v'noisim loy. That's what we figured the true pshat explanation in the Mishnah is. Amar le'Rav Kahana le'Rav Papi. V'amar le'Rav some say le'Rav Zvid. How could this be the correct explanation? Elohad Hassani. We have a brisa with Rabbi Yehuda speaking, telling us this halacha, but in a slightly different choice of words. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ha'makabel sde avoysev meitzik nachri. If a Yisrael was makabel, a sade avoysev from a violent goyish robber. So now when he turns around and he provides for him, you know, the share that belongs to the owner, ma'aser v'nosim loy, the first take of ma'aser. The question is, why is this specific to a robber? My iri meitzik, afilu ein meitzik nami, even a regular civilized guy, right? Would have the same halacha. So apparently there's something more to the story. Ela lo ilam, so says the Gemara, let's go back from all our assumptions. Let's backtrack. Yesh kinyan l'nachri beretz Yisrael afkiya miyad maser, perhaps when a guy owns a land, the land is not chayiv and maser. First of all. Number two. U'mekabel lafki chichidami, perhaps a mekabel, when he provides his boss with the, you know, predetermined percentage, it's not like he's paying up a debt. He's just giving the owner his share. So technically, he would not have to worry about the maaser on that part. So then why does he have to worry in this case? Why does it be the requirement to be maaser before he pays up? Umay stei avoysov. Stei avoysov mamish. When the Mishnah refers to stei avoysov, it means literally belong to his parents, his ancestors. Well, the day who the Gansur Rabban and the Rabban applied a penalty to this fellow who's cultivating this field that now belongs to a guy, they made a knas that's going to cost him extra. He's got to take off the maser at his own expense. The Aydi the Chaviva, since this field is very dear to him, it's a family, you know, property, Tafiva also Makabala, even if he has to pay more and extra, he'll still assume this role. He'll still, you know, take on the field. I will inish damalei, but a regular person would not be motivated to do so. That explains why we apply this penalty. But one second, that explains why he would be motivated, despite the fact that we're erecting hurdles in his way. But why, to begin with, are we punishing? What did he do wrong? Oh, did they my time a kansura bonum? Why did they make a knas to him? Why are we giving him a difficult time? This ties into the halacha of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We want it to be clear in his hands, meaning we want him to assume possession. We want him to really buy it back from the guy. You know, when he sees that, you know, it's costing him a lot of money, he'll try to, you know, strike a deal with the guy to buy the field back. And that's the purpose. That's the goal. We want the fields to belong to Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Omer Yirmiyah, once again, this type of halacha, which obligates a person to pay this extra money, all that, so that it gets to the point of a Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It has to come from a great source like Rabbi Yochanan, otherwise we would not have, you know, introduced this type of halacha. Itmar. Here comes the big halacha called Yoyred. Hayoyred l'sechsade chaveri. If a fellow enters a friend's property, and he planted trees in there without asking permission, and now he's asking for payment. Look, I did a job for you. Amarav shamanoi, we estimate the expenses and, right, expenses versus the increase in value due to this planting. V'yodoi alatatoin, he gets the lesser amount of the two, either the expenses or the value increase. U'shmol amar oimden kama adam roitza litein besadazula noita. Shmol takes a different approach. No, we go ask around, we find out how much, in fact, is a person willing to pay to have his field planted? Omar Papa really does not machlek. It's really psiki. Depends what type of field. Kan basada asuya lita. If it's a field which is intended for, you know, trees, then he gets his full pay. Kan basada she'en asuya lita. But otherwise, it's not meant for trees, meant for wheat. Then he doesn't deserve full pay. Ba'ad rav. This halacha of rav that it's the lesser of the two amounts. La beferush itmar ela mechlala itmar. It wasn't stated explicitly by rav. Rather, it was inferred from his story involving Rav. Dahuda also came to Rav. This fellow approaches Rav after having planted his neighbor's yard. Amar lezil shumle. So Rav tells the owner, listen, you got to figure out what's going on, how much he paid, how much expenses, you got to pay. Amar lele beinus. The fellow says, look, I'm not interested in these trees. I don't want to pay a cent. So I guess initially he said pay him in full, but when he said this, I'm not really interested in these trees. He said, okay, you know what? You have a point. Give him, you know, the lesser of the two, the expenses or the right. Armalei labinus. He says, you know, I don't even want. I don't have any benefit from these trees. I don't want to pay him anything. Lo soiv. It turns out that Chazi de Gadra, Rav noticed that this landowner who supposedly was disinterested in these trees is suddenly erecting a fence around them. Become interlay and he's guarding them. Armalei. Oh, so Rav tells his fellow, listen, you just undid your whole argument. You've indicated to us Golas Adaitech de Nichalach that you fully are. You're fully, you know, agreeable. You're happy about these trees. So now your field is considered a sad hasui elita, is meant for trees. Paymentful. Zinful shumlei biyodel et ahalyoina. Now the planter has the upper hand. Give him full salary. Because, as Rashi explains, this is now a field with hasui elita, which we learned before, triggers full payment. Itma, we have a similar halacha that was learned. Hayerd l'soich churbasi shal chaver. This time a fellow enters his friend's, you know, abandoned house and goes and makes renovations. Ubana shalib rishus, fixed it up without asking. Shalib rishus. Va'amar loy, now the fellow is giving him a hard time, so he says, you know what, give me back my materials. Va'amar loy, eitzai va'avona, I don't want to take back my wood, my beams, my stones. Can he have such an argument, such a claim? Rav Nachman Omar Shaviloy, he's fully right. Right, we accept the claim. Either give it back to him or pay him up. Rav Sheshi Sama Ein Shem Eloi. No, you know, you can't ask for your material back. Nimuki Esav explains that the homeowner was kainet. It's a kinyan chatzar. Says the more amazed, we're going to have a kash on Rav Nachman, who says that he has a right to recall his material unless he's paid, you know, properly. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer that it's a machlekes beishamai beisil beishamai omrim shomer lekun to beishamai. The contractor has a right, and typically we don't paskin like beishamai. Ubeisil omrim ain't shomer lekun. No, we don't accept that argument. Lema Rav Nachman, shall we say that Rav Nachman who accepted the contractor's argument that omrim beishamai is following beishamai, which is not typical. Answers the Gemara. This was one approach. Rav Shimon Gamliel maintained that there was machlekes here, Beisham Beisil, and therefore Rav Nachman was in line with Beisham. That's according to this version. Hu d'amakai Tana, but Rav Nachman himself followed a different version, a different Tana, who held that there was no discussion between Beisham Beisil in this regard. Asanya Shimon Loi, Divi Rabbi Shimon Loz. According to Rabbi Shimon Loz, there's no machlekes. There's no Beisham Beisil. Everybody holds that the contractor has a right to recall his material. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer that it's a machlekes b'shamer omrim shem eloi b'sil omrim ein shem eloi. My havela. No. So what's the conclusion? What's the psak? If the fellow wants his stuff back, Omer Rabbi Yaakov, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Well, it depends. Bebayis shem eloi. If he renovated the house, he has a right to recall his material, unless you pay him up. B'sada ein shem eloi. But when it comes to a field, once he planted, you can't ask back for your trees. Right. Why? Besada my time. Mishum Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. Again, this ties into that same point. We want to keep Eretz Yisrael inhabited. And therefore, you have no right to uproot these Ikadamri. There's another aversion, another explanation to as why he can't recall his trees. Mishum Kachsha Da'ar, after all, it already, you know, depleted. It took the nutrients out of this fellow's property. You have no right to just pull out your trees and move on. You caused them a loss. So therefore, he has a right to insist on having the trees, and he'll pay you a token amount, whatever we discussed before. My benayah, now, any difference between the two reasons provided, Eretz Yisrael related or nutrients related? Oh, very simple. Iku benayah, chutz laretz. What if it's outside Eretz Yisrael? So the first reason doesn't apply, but the second does. So bottom line, we had three halachas associated with Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. One is regarding the flood which transplanted the trees. You can't ask it back because you have Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which actually ties into this discussion here as well. By a Yoyreit, the person who consciously went and planted another person's property, you can't ask for the trees back. And then we had the other halacha regarding the Makabel Sadeh Avaisav that we sort of get him, motivate him to go ahead and redeem the field Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Now the Mishnah will discuss rentals. You know, what's the minimum rental period? How much advance notice does a landlord have to give a tenant? Says the Mishnah, Maskir bayis lachavir. A person rents a house to another person. Okay, so this is a rental rented out to from Reuven to Shimon. During the winter time, from Sukkot to Pesach, you can't evict your tenant. Winter time is a difficult time, hard to find a vacancy. You can't kick out your tenant in the middle of winter. But minachag vada Pesach, right? You can't kick him out until between Sukkot and Pesach. But during the summertime, as long as he has 30 days, that's okay. And then we'll explain exactly what this means. If you're living in a big city where vacancies are more difficult to find, a place of high demand, whether it's summer or winter, you have to give him 12 months. If he has a storefront, whether it's a small city or a large city, he needs 12 months notice to find himself a new location. There's some exception here. Whether it's a baker or it's a fellow who dies, so these stores require more advance notice. Shalei shanim, 3 years. Okay, now the Gemara is a kash. Ask the Gemara, my time is moisak shanim. The Gemara is assuming, when the Mishnah made reference to a rental, winter rental or summer rental, it was explicitly rented as a rental winter rental. Look, I need it for the winter, and that explains why he can't evict him until the winter is up, right? So if that's the case, what's the difference whether he rented it as a winter rental, in which case he has a right to stay there throughout the winter, or a summer rental, which has should have the same right? When a person rents a home, for the winter, it's presumed that he wants it for the full winter, and therefore you have to wait until the winter is up to ask him to leave. Well, the same thing with the summer. I asked for the summer. Give me the whole summer. So when a person rents for a summer or a summer rental, he meant for the whole summer. So why is 30 days enough time to kick? Okay. So the Gemara says like this, based on Rashi, that in fact there was no explicit mentioning of whether it's a summer rental or winter rental. He just rented it out. Right? He rented it to him during the winter. And the point of the Mishnah is, if it's now the winter, you can't just throw them out. There are no vacancies. People, in the winter time, they settle down, they're not moving around, so it's not fair. It's unfair to send them out during the winter. So you have to wait until the winter is up. But during the summer, again, he didn't specify it's a summer rental. He's just in there, and it happens to be the summer now. He wants them out. As long as you give him 30 days notice, that's enough. Sorry, skip notice. That's the next Gemara. No, Rashi explains like this. Again, he rented it without stipulating time, duration, season, nothing. Okay? It happens to be winter time now. So Rashi explains, Stam Sechirus is Shleishim Yom. Your typical, your minimum term of Sechirus is 30 days, like a Stam Halvo, right? Shleishim Yom. But if it's winter time, you can't, even once he's in there 30 days, which pretty much passes over the minimum rental term, doesn't matter. It's summer, it's wintertime, you can't send them out. But if it happens to be nice weather, it's summertime, and he has already been there for 30 days, which is the Stam Schirus, then you can send them out. Eimah Seif. Okay, that's the case. Let's move on to the next part of the mission. The Krachim, if you're dealing with a large city, place of high demand, right? Downtown Toronto. Echad Yimayzacham, Echad Yimayzacham, Shem Yimayzachedesh, whether it's summer or winter, the shear is 12 months. So what does that mean? Instead of 30 days, it's 12 months. You can't evict him until the first 12 months are up. But picture this, right? 12 months could be up any time. Let's say the 12 months were up middle of Hanukkah. Right? Echad Yimayzach Chamo. Imagine that if 12 months are up, you could just send them out. V'amai, why? No vacancies around. So we have to rework the Mishnah here. Amar Yehuda, we have to re-explain the Mishnah differently. All these numbers, all these things relate to advance notice. How much advance notice does a landlord have to provide for his tenant? Let's start all the way from the beginning of the Mishnah again. Hamasker bayis lachaveir stam. A person rents a house to his friend without stipulating term, time, season. Ein yochay leitzioi. So first of all, you should know if winter has arrived, mazel tov, he's in there till Pesach. That's it. There are no evictions during the winter. Period. Ein yochay leitzioi meisak shamim mechag vada Pesach. Unless. Provided he gave him 30-day notice before winter arrived. Meaning, Rashi says, he gave him at least Tesvav Be'elul, which is 30 days before Sukkot. So basically, he gave him 30 days opportunity during non-winter time to look for another place to live. And the same thing in the summer. If it happens to be the summer, as long as it gives him 30 days, okay. But if it's in a big city, it's downtown, you got to give him 12 months notice. So now we understand the full Mishnah. Tanam, how can you find the same in a Braisa? Whenever we speak about 30 days, 12 months, it's all about advance notice. Concludes the Braisa, you should know. Just as there are tenants' rights, there are landlord rights as well. Just like a landlord has to inform his tenant in advance, likewise a tenant has to be fair to his landlord and inform him that he's leaving. Normally, because the owner can say, look, it's not fair. Had you only informed me in advance, I would have looked for a good tenant. I would have looked and found a good upstanding fellow and I got stuck with some, Omar Abbas, once it's a day, even one day into the winter, show's over. He has to hold on to him until Pesach. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? We just finished saying that if he gave him 30-day notice during the non-winter time, that's okay. Now you're telling me, it means like this. Let's say he missed it by a day. He informed him 29 days before Sukkot. So the last day, the 30th day, goes into the winter period. Too late. It's over. Because you didn't give him adequate non-winter time to prepare, to look around. You can no longer evict him until Pesach arrives. But let's say the landlord insists on it. Hiking the rent. Fine, I can't kick you out. At least let me hike the rent. He can do that. So that's the moral. How fair is that? I mean, he's basically blackmailing him. Basically kicking him out, right? Amar Rav Nachman. Hi. This is an expression. Lamkati bekufsei. It's like grabbing him in his beitzim of the zachar. L'shavki l'glima, to abandon his coat, his garment. Basically, you're twisting his arm. Take his shirt off his back. I mean, l'tzricha de yakar bati. Must be speaking that, overall, rent has increased, right? Throughout the city. So now it's a fair claim. Listen, you want to stay? I'm hiking the rent. Says the Gemara, despite the fact that we learned that you can't really evict a tenant without proper notice, but let's say the landlord needs a place to live. Pshita, in the following case, the halacha is very simple. Straightforward. Nafalei Beis. Let's say Reuben, the landlord's own house, collapsed. He has nowhere to live. Of course he can respectfully ask the tenant to leave his premises because he needs a place to live. Armalei, he can tell Shimon, leave my house. Le'edifas, you're not better than me. I mean, your whole claim is, look, you have nowhere to go. No vacancies. Well, that's why I have no vacancies either. I'm stuck in the street. So it's not logical that to say that the landlord has to give up his dwelling for the renter. Right? That's not what he committed to. But let's say Zavni. Suppose Reuben sold the rental, sold it to somebody else while this renter was there. Or let's say he passed away and it got inherited to his kids. He gave it as a gift to somebody. And the new owner comes knocking, get out of my house. Armalei, so the renter can tell him, look, Layadifas. You know better megaver the asminay. You know better than the person you came from. Meaning, and as much as he couldn't throw me out, you can't either. Now, let's say Reuben married off his son, and that was the minute they used to like get him a house or whatever place to live. So suddenly Reuben needs this house for his son. Does he have a right to evict his tenant? Chazinan, so we analyze the story. If Reuben could have informed Shimon in advance, then he has no right to kick him out. He should have informed him. But otherwise, if it was a sudden shidduch and they got engaged and married, so again, Reuben can tell Shimon, look, you know better than me. I'm stuck without my son having a house. I have a right to have you vacate the house. How gavra, there was a story about this fellow, the Zavan Arba de Chamra. He purchased a whole shipload of wine. He didn't have any place to store the wine. He turns to this woman, a single woman, and he asks her, do you have some storage for me? I want to rent some storage. She says, no, sorry, I'm full. Ozel kitchen. So now he engaged her. He pretended to, you know, want to marry her, and now she softened up. So she provided, now she found space for his wine, for him to deliver the and he delivered the wine. Okay? So, so she gave him a place, La'ayle, to put his barrels. Ozel Abesi, see, he runs back home, this fellow, this gangster. Kasa La'gita. He issues a get to this divorce to this Isha. Shadalai sends it to her with a shliach. Okay, so this is all a ploy, right? Azla'i, so what did she do? She went, agro shakaloi. She went and she hired porters to clear out the house. Mineu ben, she paid them using this wine. Okay, so she took some of the wine to pay their fee. Afikte, oisfe bishvila, and she vacated the house, she cleared out the house from the swine, she took it out and put it on the street outside. Amar Afuna, Breda Yeshua, she's right on. It was based on a pasuk in Avadia. Look, he got what he deserved. He got a taste of his medicine. Kasher Asa, Ken Yasa Lai, Gemula Yasha Baraisha, right? He tried to fool her, he misled her, so he deserves this treatment. Now, let me buy a chatzid lekayim la'agra. Goes without saying, if this chatzid, this property of this isha, was not really meant for hire, for rental, for storage, then certainly he didn't do the right thing by imposing this on her. Elafilu chatzid lekayim la'agra. But even if we're gonna be dealing with a chatzid which was meant for storage rental, it's a commercial property. Still, she has full right to clear out his stuff. Amrei, she can tell him, l'kuli alma nichal leguri. I'm fully agreeable. Renting my property to other people, to normal people, not to you, you're a gangster. I'm not interested in doing it to you. Look to me, you appear to me like a, I perceive you like a crouched lion. Right? Arba is either crouched or ambushing, about to lunge and attack. Basically, you're no good fellow, I'm not interested in your wine. She has a right to do so. Okay, the Mishnah concluded with a halacha regarding a bakery. Rabban Shimon Leil Omer, Shalach Toimim, Shal Tzabayin, Shal Oshan. These businesses need more advance notice. Tana, you know why? Bepneisha came from Ruba. Because typically they extend credit to their customers, long-term credit. That's just the way they used to do business. So Bemela, you can't just force them to change locations on moment's notice. Otherwise, there are customers who we're expecting to come back and pay up their accounts, I'm not going to find them. So you give them, have to give them 3 years till you force them out. Okay, so let's just summarize the Mishnah and the Gemara. According to the last and final Pshat in the Mishnah, it's all about advance notice. So you have to give a fellow at least 30 days notice, and all the 30 days must take place within the Yemei Sachama. Otherwise, he's stuck in there until Pesach. In the large cities, they have to give him 12 months notice. For a store, it's always 12 months. In the bakeries and all that, you get 3 years. Okay, now we're going to speak about landlord / tenant responsibilities. Hamaskir bais l'chaveru. Fellow rents leases his home to somebody. Hamaskir chayev bedeles. The landlord has to provide the door, benagar, that's like a key or whatever, benmanol, the lock, b'chodobar shemasu'um, anything that requires a professional, like anything has to be freshly installed, that all is on the landowner's shoulders. Avodobar she'enei ma'asu'um, with something that can be done, you know, by a regular homeowner, it's not some sort of professional job. So a little handiwork, ha'soicher o'iseu, the tenant is expected to maintain the house in that regard. Hazel shabal abayis, any animal manure in the property belongs to the landowner. Ve'in lo soicher ala hayotzim min hatanur min hakorayim belvad. The only thing that the tenant will keep is the ashes coming from his stove and his range. We'll see in the Gemara exactly why and when. Tanur rabban. Hamaskur bayis lachaver, you rent a house. Maskur chay, the landlord is chayv lahamalei dalsi, he's got to provide the doors, leftech lechalonis, to make sure he has functioning windows, lachazak le'tikra, to maintain the ceiling, lismach le'kara, to support the beams. Okay? V'seicher chayv las le'sulam, whereas the tenant, he has to provide the ladder to get up to the roof, to access the roof. Lasas le'maka, he has to make the railing on the roof. Lasas le'marziv, to make the eaves troughs on the side. Las te'achas gagai, to maintain the roof and keep it waterproof. What about a mezuzah? Who has to provide that? Al-mi. Whose obligation is that? Says the Gemara, what do you mean mezuzah? Ham Rav Sheshes? Mesharshe? Mezuzah chayves hadari. Mezuzah is the obligation of the dweller. Not the owner. You live there. You have to have a mezuzah. Of course it's the soicher. Not the masker. Elo mokim mezuzah al-mi. Of course the mezuzah has to be provided by the tenant. But who has to, you know, carve out the spot on the wall? Who has to install the mezuzah? We have the Mishnah, which gives us an answer. Dover shein masu uman asoicher oiseu. If it's just, you know, a small handiwork, it's not a masu uman, the soicher does it. V'hai nami lab masu uman hu. Affixing a mezuzah is not a major job. Efshehu begufsa. So even though, you know, you can do it professionally, but you can just put it into a little begufsa dekanya, and a little, you know, hollow reed or whatever, right? Some sort of, right? And just hang it up like that. You don't have to make major innovations. Of course, the soicher is responsible. Tanur rabbanan, on the topic of mezuzah, maskur bayis lachaver, if you lease your home to somebody, ala soicher las le mezuzah, right? The soicher has to provide the mezuzah. Kshur yaitzi, but listen to this. When he leaves the home, the tenant leaves the property, he can't take the mezuzah with him. Leitlenu biyadu biyaitzi. He should leave it on the house. So that provides protection for the next tenant. But if it's owned by a guy, of course you take the mezuzah with you. You don't want to leave it there, lest it be desecrated by the guy. Listen to this frightening story. There was a story about a tenant who took the mezuzah with him when he shouldn't have. And he left. And he lost his wife and two kids. Ask the Gemara Masa Lister. You just told me that if you leave a guy's premises, you can take it. Now you tell me you can't. Right? You bring a story which contradicts your. No, the story relates back to the first halach, where the property was owned by a Yisrael. The next tenant was going to be a Yisrael. So here, you shouldn't be taking your mezuzahs with you. And the Mefarshim explained that it was Mida Keneged Mida. Right? The Ritva. Mida Keneged Mida, because he was not careful about protecting the home and the next tenant. Likewise, he suffered as a result. Okay, we pretty much summed up today's daf. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.